On, guys, today we're back with another episode.
Hey guys, Justin Thin here. Thanks for tuning in. Today we have a special guest, David Klein from SpartanHoops.com. David, how you doing?
Guys, thanks so much for the invite. Obviously, big news coming down the pipeline today for Michigan State. I'm glad you guys have me on to talk about it.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. And let's get right into it. So obviously the first big thing to happen was Aaron Henry returning. I personally did not see that happening. I thought he was going to elect to go pro, but I know you've been saying from the beginning, he'd be a bigger loss than Tillman. So what do you make of him?
Absolutely massive. I said it in my today, but an irreplaceable person had he chosen to remain in the NBA draft, given the wing depth for Michigan State upcoming season. Had he left, they really would have been hamstrung in a lot of regards. You know, he ended up finishing the season particularly strong. He ends up having 12.5 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, 3.5 assists per game, and 1 steal with only a turnover the last 5. He ended up finishing the season 3rd in points per game, 2nd in rebounds per game, 3rd in assists per game, 3rd in steals per game, 3rd in free throw attempts. He was their 3rd best 3-point shooter at 34% if you had 50 attempts minimum. And he was their best perimeter defender. So that kind of guy leaving the wing with nobody really waiting, they were going to have to probably patch that spot up had he decided to remain in the draft with Malik Hall, you know, A.J. Hogard, and hopefully Langford comes back healthy. It's just a completely different team. It's still a Big Ten title contending team with Henry returning. Had he stayed in the draft, I don't think I could have said that about them.
Yeah, I would definitely add kind of what you touched on there about him being one of the best perimeter defenders for the team. If you take that out of the equation and then Rockets now guarding the other team's best perimeter player, and he's also shouldering the burden that Cassius has left with facilitating, he's going to be drained while trying to carry the load by himself on both ends of the court. So even in addition to the depth issues it would give us, just the responsibilities on Rocket's shoulder would have been tremendous had he left on both sides of the court.
I couldn't agree more with that. You kind of saw it with Xavier Simpson, right? In the latter years of him, came in as kind of that bulldog defender. And then as his career got leaned on more offensively, he just wasn't able to give what he needed to on that end of the court. And I think that the burden on Watts would have just been so extreme. You really would have needed Brown to take that huge leap forward, which you obviously hope still happens. But, you know, Henry coming back is just such an integral part to what they want to do next year. I really see him maybe leaning towards maybe facilitating the offense a little bit more, getting Watts off the ball, whether that's, you know, from kind of that nail spot on the free throw line, whether he's initiated in the top of the key. But I think there's a lot of things that they're going to be able to do with him in the offense this next season, trying to kind of get Watts into that scoring position on the wing, relieve him of some of the ball handling duties. So I'm really excited for him. And I think that he's going to be able to increase his stock. I think it was a little bit of an uncertainty whether he would have been drafted this year. So I think it's a good decision for the team. And I think it's a really good decision for him to come back a year. Hopefully we get a season, and for him to take that necessary step to really solidify himself as kind of an end of a first, maybe early second round guy like Tillman and Cash are going to be this year.
Yeah. And I think you touching on the fact that maybe getting Rocket into more of a perimeter ISO kind of a scoring role would definitely help, because one of the things I was worried about, regardless of what happened with these two decisions, was if Rocket is more constricted to a traditional point guard facilitating role, how would that impact his scoring freedom and whatnot? So if we are able to get Aaron Henry to get some of that ball handling time and maybe let Rocket score off the perimeter a little more than we might think, that could free up his creativity and his scoring as well. And one thing that Coach Izzo said in a statement after Aaron decided he was coming back today was, it made it very hard for me to advise Aaron because he got so much better with shooting and ball handling. So if that really is the case, and obviously you have to see if that transpires or not, but if that really is the case, like you said, he could take off some of the burden from Rocket in terms of facilitating, and that could obviously be very huge.
I definitely agree with that, 100%. And I think that they're going to just try to be utilizing him in a little bit more versatile ways. I pulled up some of his synergy numbers from last season when I was doing that in-depth breakdown that's up on Spartan Hoops. He was 8-for-12 in post-up possessions. Michigan State really hasn't had a guy like him since Denzel Valentine that you can put on the block and kind of inverse it, create a mismatch there. I think Michigan State needs to do a little bit better job of just putting him in some various situations where he excels. In those horn sets where he's coming downhill, he's catching the ball with a couple dribbles and only needing to make a move or two before he's passing it or scoring it. I just think that he's a huge piece to the puzzle. And as I said previously, if he doesn't come back, it's just a completely different shape for the roster. So it was very big.
And moving on to the other player who obviously elected to stay in the draft, Tillman. I don't think any of us were really shocked by that. Had COVID maybe not happened, maybe he would have elected to return. But I think him leaving isn't as big of a role. But what do you make of him leaving in, like, the five?
Yeah, so I was really torn on this. I think that there's two viewpoints for it. Short-term, when he returns, would that have potentially put Michigan State as a contender team, both in the conference as well as nationally? Yes. Do I think 100% that this was a national title contending team with both him and Henry back? I think that would have had to remain to be seen during the course of the season, but I couldn't have said that definitively. As we look at what we're bringing in for the 21 roster and kind of looking at the longer-term view, allowing the center position this year and the four guys who are going to be battling for that spot to grow and develop on the court with actual minutes, I think is a huge boost, not only for this season, but also if you're looking long-term towards the hopes for a second title under Izzo, potentially bringing in a really exciting 21 recruiting class to mix with some of the veterans. I think it was really key for a lot of these guys that would have been logjammed behind Tillman to get a chance to showcase and grow. And the guys that I'm really looking forward to see are Julius Marble and Matty Sissoko. I think that those two guys are really going to be the ones that by midseason toward the later part of the season, getting most of the minutes. I still have some hope for Bingham. I was high on him last year. I thought he'd take great strides defensively, but kind of was lost in the offensive role. So it'll be interesting to see if he continues to work on his body. Is he capable of developing, a post move, a low post move, so he has a little bit of a role in the half court set. But all around, I really like the battle for that spot. It's four guys competing for 40 minutes. And I think all around, it's going to be good for Michigan State this year and into the next year as we kind of look ahead long term.
Yeah, and I think backtracking a little bit to the decision itself, personally, I always thought it made pretty much unanimous sense for him to leave. I understand that there was a lot of comfort in him staying, as I know I get the sense that he had a very stable situation here. But in terms of draft stock alone, I feel like his mold is what it is. And you're not going to get turned into a stretch four with one additional year of college basketball. Maybe you can tremendously improve your shooting, but in the large scheme of things, you pretty much are the position that you are. And him being a 6'8 center was not going to change in just one year of coming back. So I feel like he was always going to be handicapped by that in terms of his draft stock even next year. So he can't really improve in that many areas other than, like I said, maybe increasing that shooting percentage a little bit. So with everything else that you take into account that you wanted a prospect, he had that already. So for me, I don't know what more he could have really improved other than shooting, I guess, that would be worth coming back another year. He pretty much checks all the boxes that you want from a center other than maybe hoping for having him be 2 inches taller. But beyond that, I think that this decision was pretty clear-cut from the draft stock side of things. I don't know if you agree with that, David, or not. I know some people might think that he could have turned himself into a stretch four, but I don't know. I feel like it was pretty clear that he should have gone. What do you think?
No, I was in the same boat the whole way. I thought, was there personal decisions that maybe came into play, wanting to keep his family in one spot? Obviously, he just had his second, son during the course of the season. So it's one of those situations where I think it made a lot of sense for him to remain in the draft. He kind of is what it is, like you said. With Hauser in the lineup, offering that stretch option. I didn't really see Tillman coming back and firing 100 threes like some people were kind of saying on Twitter. To me, it was not a great shot for him last season. He stopped shooting at a certain point because he understood that it wasn't a great shot. And so what was he going to really improve on? Could his numbers in production have increased at the college level? Yes. Would that necessarily have meant that his stock increased at the next level? I don't think so. You know, unfortunately, he's a couple inches shorter than maybe he would like to be, but he's a perfect backup role bench player, a great leader, a multi-versatile defender. And so I agree with you. His stock probably always was going to kind of be in that 25 to 40 range. And so whether he went this year or the next, I don't think he would have hurt himself coming back, but I don't necessarily see a dramatic increase in his stock had he returned.
And what I'm curious to see is, I wonder where he's going to play at the next level. Like, is it going to be the center position or, you know what I mean? I know he's not going to be playing point guard, but it seems like he's more of like a Draymond where you can put him at the four, you can put him at, I don't know about the three, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge NBA guy. I just don't watch it enough. I watch so much more of the college game. I think he probably projects as a backup center primarily. You know, the options for the power nowadays in the NBA, basically everybody's got to be able to shoot the three pretty well. So I think that he probably plays as a backup center. I think he can have a long career. What he brings with the intangibles, what he brings with his passing ability, I think he's going to be able to hone that mid-range jumper a little bit. Is he going to be a guy that ever stretches it all the way out to the three-point line? I question that a little bit, but can he showcase the mid-range, that 15-footer in a pick-and-roll situation and keep defenses honest? I think he can, and I think that, you know, if he lands in the right organization, he's going to have a really long career.
Yeah, I think he's never going to be able to be totally versatile like Draymond, because Draymond, at least to a lesser degree, can shoot the three. I think if X does add that element to his game in a few years, he might be able to get some more minutes. But I agree. I think he's a backup center. I would probably say that he can last a while, though, doing this. There's lots of centers that these days, I know my Sixers, they pick up a new backup center every year, whether it's Greg Monroe, whether it's Kyle O'Quinn. These kind of guys, even into their late 30s, if you can carve out a niche and you're a solid rebounder, a solid defender, you can pretty much go your whole career without getting a starting role and still hang around for close to a decade. And I think, well, actually, to correct myself, I know Greg Monroe is a solid starter for the Pistons, but I mean, that kind of a role that those guys are in now these days, that's something that's sustainable for a solid decade. So I think he'll have a long career, but yeah, I think he'll be most part just handicapped to the backup center role as well.
Mm-hmm. So what player are you most excited to see next year for Michigan State, and what player are you most, like, not concerned with, but, you know, maybe worried about if things don't go the right way early on?
That's a great question. I think obviously it starts with Watts at the point guard spot. I think that that's going to be such a fascinating experiment. We really have never had a guy that's so score first. I know Keith Applin was a little bit in that vein, but, you know, Watts ended up finishing the season in that last, like, little stretch, four-game stretch. He averaged just under 18 points per game, taking almost 16 field goal attempts per game in the championship stretch. So what is the volume going to be? What is the balance between scoring, facilitating? I think that that's going to be extremely fascinating to watch. Izzo really did a nice job giving him the green light last year. I think in terms of, you know, giving a player that much opportunity to work through it, I don't know if we've ever really seen it. I think it really paid dividends down the stretch. So I think that Izzo is going to give him a little longer leash than maybe we've seen, you know, with some of his younger underclass point guards. So I'm really looking forward to watching that. And then the other guy that I'm just super, super high on, and I hope that he makes an immediate impact and just carves himself into minutes, is Matty Sissoko. Izzo has really never had a guy with his complete physical package in terms of his, you know, size, athleticism, length, all the rest of it. So all around for me, I think that those are the two guys that I'm most looking forward to seeing in kind of newer roles. Obviously, you know, Sissoko wasn't on the team last year, but just carving out what they can for themselves and figuring out how it's all going to shape up. So those were the two that I'm looking forward to the most. As for who I'm a little bit worried about, it would probably be Bingham for me. I think this is a make or break year for him. I think he absolutely is going to be given an opportunity at least early to earn minutes. Maybe he's the starter. I think that that's probably a little bit of a question mark, but I think that they'll lean towards the upperclassmen potentially there. And if he can't prove that he has a clear-cut role, particularly in the half-court offense, I think he's going to run into a situation where some of the younger guys, Marble and Sissoko, are coming up hard and fast behind him. And if he doesn't get it done, some of his minutes are going to start getting eaten into, and I think that his role for Michigan State going forward is really going to alter.
Yeah, I would also have named Marcus as someone that we kind of needed to take that next step and relatively quickly, because we do have options right behind him, like Maddie Sissoko and like Julius Marble that we can turn to quickly. But hitting on another player that I kind of want to see make a jump here pretty quickly, and I know this is also a pretty popular answer, it would be Foster Lawyer, obviously. I think one thing that he might be able to benefit from is with Cassius being gone, every single person on the team is going to have to be more aggressive to make up that loss of production in terms of scoring. And looking back at his numbers from last year, I know he didn't shoot a ton, but he shot 45% from three. So it would be nice to see him do – I mean, this is kind of something you don't want guys doing, but I kind of want to see him dribble up to half court and decide, I'm taking a shot this possession, just once in a while. Kind of get a little bit of that high school identity that he had, where he just had a predetermined, I'm going to take a shot on this possession and it's going in type of thing. And if one of the games you go 2 for 9 doing that, then that's fine. But I want to see him – try to kind of play a little bit of that hero ball role just a bit. And we don't have to worry about him going overboard with that, because at the end of the day, his head coach is Tom Izzo. But I just want to see him kind of feed that energy that he used to have in high school and just come up and kind of take some of those overly aggressive shots until he starts missing them. Because if you're shooting 45% from three and you're still only attempting a couple shots a game, then you should be shooting more until that percentage is lower, or until your point total is higher. That's kind of how I look at it.
Absolutely. In conference play, he ended up shooting only 7 for 21. So when he played a little bit better teams, he did struggle in spots. I just think that the staff's insistence to continue to play him at the lead guard spot really did him a disservice. His confidence just hasn't been there these first 2 years. I watched him in high school a couple times, and I just thought, yeah, he's a little bit smaller, but his game is going to translate because of his ability to shoot. I think that if they move him off the ball and give him some run, 3-4 minutes a half at that two guard spot, and obviously it'll matter who's, running point. You probably want to play him alongside Watts. But if you're running him off screens, if you're running him off set actions, almost like a Bryn Forbes who really struggled to defend and kind of struggled with the physicality of the league when he first came into the Big Ten as well, I think you're going to get a little bit better production because you're not putting so much pressure on him to bring up the ball and initiate the offense. So that is the move I really would like to see the staff make, is stop insisting that he's a point guard, play him kind of as a spot-up shooter in spot minutes, and I think that you're just going to see the production come a little bit better. So Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see what his role shakes out to be, because another guy that's kind of in a make-and-break spot, he needs to be able to show that he can contribute, or he's going to be kind of relegated to that bench role, the rest of his career.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit on it there, is once you take him out of the lead guard spot and his responsibilities change a little bit, I think so will his, success and then the confidence that ensues. Because if you notice a lot of the scenarios where he falters, it's kind of when they're pressuring him and he's bringing the ball up and maybe he's dribbling with his head down and he's starting to make a turnover or two. That's kind of where he gets into trouble, and then he doesn't shoot at that point or anything like that either. So if you do just have him run off screens while Rocket's doing the facilitating, I think you have a totally different kind of a role for him, and he suddenly is not in the position where he's making a lot of those mistakes while bringing the ball up, and I think it could go a different way, but we'll have to see how that all shapes up.
I got a question for you both, if you don't mind me. I'll flip the tables real quick on you, but I think we're all pretty set that Watts is going to be the leading scorer for this team next season. Who do you see as the second leading scorer? Do you see Henry? Do you see someone else? I'm just generally curious where you guys kind of feel that second leading scorer for the team is going to be.
For me, it's either going to be Henry or Hauser. I still haven't picked, you know, who it's – we just haven't seen Hauser play. That's the problem. Like, he's gotten a lot of hype, but, you know, obviously that would be the guy if we've seen him play, but I'll just go Henry with the easy answer.
Yeah, I think – I don't know if I'm falling victim to Izzo's quote from today of Henry taking big strides in his shooting and ball handling, but if that's the case – I don't see a reason why he's not scoring 16-ish, 17-ish points per game. But, yeah, like Spencer kind of touched on, the reviews that have been coming out about Hauser in practice and all these guys saying that, oh, he's an NBA prospect already, without him even getting to play a single minute at Michigan State, I think they probably don't say that lightly with the kind of competition they're used to playing against over there and X being the one guarding him at times and whatnot. I think – that hype is not unsubstantiated, if I had to guess, with just how much those guys are praising him. And talking to some of the guys, even when they're not talking to the media, just like behind the scenes, they think that if they were able to play Hauser this year, they think that they might not have lost the game. And I personally think that it has to be one of those two guys, like Henry, or like Spencer said. But one of those two is going to score more than 17 points per game, and I think it can be either one of them. It's probably a coin flip for me at this point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I think I would lean Hauser. I just think that the three-point shooting ability, when I dug in some of the synergy numbers from his lone season at Marquette, I was really surprised at how efficient he was scoring out the assists. He ended up being able to get to the basket on his own, which you wouldn't think with kind of a 6'9", you know, not a laterally quick type athletic person. And his ability to create his own shot from both the mid-range and the block, and being able to shoot above 40% from three, I think he's going to become really quickly a fan favorite. I'm really excited. I would have liked to see him and Tillman play together because I think those two really would have gelled well. But I think we're going to be able to run a little bit of the offense through him as well. If you're looking at who can maybe replace some of the facilitation, some of the, you know, assist production, he played alongside, you know, one of the biggest shot chuckers that we've had, Marcus Howard, yeah, in a long time. And he still averaged, what was his exact average? I think it was pretty close to 3 assists per game.
Yeah, 2.4.
2.4. So, I mean, that's not bad given the fact that, you know, Howard was taking, I think, close to 20 shots a game or something when he was playing with him. So I think that he really offers a versatile offensive weapon. He's another guy that they're going to be able to kind of lean on. And all around, I'm really excited to see him as well. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he kind of reminds – this might be a bad comparison, but he kind of reminds me of a bigger version of a Jason Tatum. Like the way he kind of – I don't know how good he is defensively, but offensively it seems like that's the way people are making it sound. Yeah, so moving on with the last thing, obviously, we got to talk about Jaden Atkins or Akins, the missing piece to the 2021 class. So where do you guys think, obviously, we all think he's going to end up at Michigan State, for DK or David, where do you, who would you compare his game to the most for fans that haven't seen him play or haven't watched any highlights?
That's interesting. So when I did the player comp on him a while back, the two guys that I really saw, he was kind of a combination of, one is Kevin Porter Jr. He's played a single season at USC, had some issues. He actually had a chance to be drafted by the Pistons, and they decided to pass on the pick and draft and stash some Euro guy in the late second round. I was pretty disappointed about that because he had a couple games. I think he got drafted by the Cavs. And he had a couple games this year where I think he had one and he scored 30-plus points. Just the shot creation ability, the ability to score off the bounce at all three levels, kind of a sneaky athletic. He's 6'3", a little bit longer. He has a little bit of that Ja Morant bounce in his game where every once in a while you watch a clip that comes on Twitter where you're just – your eyebrows go up and you're like, that's a point guard. You know, he had one where I think he caught like a putback and he just jumped over some guy's back. And you're just like, oh, my God. Like, Michigan State really hasn't had a guy that is that athletic at the point guard spot. He's a lefty. I really like that. And just generally, you know, he's a guy that you look, if you pair alongside, you know, Brooks long term and some of the other guys that are coming to the class, an instant, you know, contribution type guy, but also a guy that I think will probably be in the program if he commits to Michigan State for 3 years. And a guy that once he gets to those upper class years, is just going to be something really special, I think, to watch. So I'm a really big fan of him. And if he commits to Michigan State, it'll be just the cherry on the top of what has been just an unbelievable recruiting, you know, month for Izzo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think those are definitely great comparisons. And someone that comes to my mind is De'Aaron Fox. Maybe I'm kind of putting more emphasis into the explosiveness that he has, but some of the things that De'Aaron Fox would create for that offense, even when he wasn't actually scoring himself, just him having a quick first step and stepping into the lane. And those first two steps, the defense would just collapse on him. And they'd have perimeter shooters all over the place wide open just from him facilitating in that nature. And I think having someone that has such a burst while still being able to keep their head up, it's just going to be the perimeter scorers like Max Christie and Imani and these guys, if they're all there at the same time, that's just going to be so easy for them to be able to have their open shot. Just because if you combine that vision and explosiveness, it's very, very exciting to think about, to say the least.
I like that one. I actually was fortunate enough. He gave me an interview, did a Zoom call on it. And when I asked him who he kind of watched or emulated, De'Aaron Fox, one of the guys. And I think that his ability in transition to get out and go, that quick first step, kind of that slinky athleticism that De'Aaron Fox has, I thought that's a great comp for him too. So he's one of those guys that I've been high on. I went and saw play a couple times in high school this past season, and I would go crazy if he committed, because I think he's just such a perfect fit for everything else that's coming in around him as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like we're not going to miss on him just because of who else we're recruiting at point guard, and that's nobody. You know, it seems like it's him or nothing at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if they end up missing, I don't think that they'll probably fill that last spot. That's kind of my feeling. It's Jaden Akins or nobody. Mm-hmm. And if they swing and miss on him, I think that what they'll end up doing is go all in on the lone point guard offer they have for the 22 class. That's Trawan Holloman. He's from Minnesota. He kind of got a big bump up the rankings. I think he's like in or near the top 50 now. Mm-hmm. And I like him. I like his style, and it'll be interesting to see. I think that we'll probably get that Akins news sooner than later. There's been some chatter. Yeah. Maybe this is the month, or maybe even possibly this is the week. So nothing definitive. He's kept everything pretty close to the vest from, you know, kind of the get-go on this. But I think it's a two-horse race between Michigan State and Michigan. And I think, you know, you got to hope that he goes with his heart and chooses Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, at this point, it just seems like it's either us or nobody, because I don't know about Howard. He's just offering every point guard, it seems, right now, after they're probably going to lose on Jalen Worry as well. But do you have anything to add, Justin?
No, that's pretty much it. I'm going to be interested to see if this is the month. I hope so. Mm-hmm. But there's really not any indication that his interest level is flaking or anything like that. I'm sure he's just doing his due diligence, but – that's looking good. And like I said, that would be a very exciting addition to the team.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically all we got. But obviously, David, you can tell the fans where to go follow you and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again for having me on. www.spartanhoops.com. That is the new website, the one-stop shop for all your Spartan basketball information. Thanks so much for having me on. I actually misspoke earlier and I said Tillman's second son. I know that he has his first daughter, so it's his second child is what I meant to say. So for anyone willing to excuse me for that, my apologies. But
all right. Thanks, David. All right, we appreciate you joining us.
You guys take care. Talk to you soon. Yep.
See ya.